episode contains coarse language. Tony, it's been a whole week and I feel like I miss you.
I know.
I miss you mostly, but...
I know, it was weird.
It was weird. We went from spending 2.5 weeks every single day together, like
24/7.
24/7, literally. And you know what was nice though? And then we'll introduce everybody to who I'm talking to. It's okay. Like, I didn't want to kill you by the end of it. It's very rare for me to travel with people and to not want to kill them by the end.
100%. There was on this trip, there was one person I was ready to throw off the boat. We will get into that. But with you, it was so easy. It was actually like, felt like I was traveling with my sister or one of my cousins.
I felt the same way. Yeah, I was like, so I feel like I have a brother with me. And I was like, this is what it's meant to be like, to have a sibling and travel with them. Yeah, I felt the same way. So anybody who's listening, we've got Tony from Who Invited Her on Mates Rates today. And Tony, we've had Eric before in season one, I think Eric was on. So we've got the other host now, the main host of Who Invited Her. The main host, the hostess with the mostess.
We're on season break right now, Eric and I. We start season 6 coming up in October.
You're so good. It's nice to have a break, though. At least you were good and you told your listeners. I was like, you know what? I got a really small audience. I'll understand.
No, I got messages while we were on our trip coming back.
Really?
Like, episodes. When are you coming down? And we're like, I need a time off.
You can share this one then out, and then they can, you know, like get a little pizzazz of something along the way while they're waiting.
There you go. It'll be a bonus episode for all of our listeners.
And is it a new? What, are you starting a new season in October, or is it just a continuation of the current season?
New season. Season 6 starts October 1st. Day of Red Dress, which we're going to, and I'm excited.
And we need to work out our outfits. And anybody who's listening who's in San Diego and you don't go to Red Dress Party, you're missing out. It's an HIV fundraiser, and it's a mandatory red dress. You cannot wear anything else but a red dress. My only beef with this party is the theme, because I feel like red dress is a theme.
It is.
And theming a theme. And I'm like, now we have to do Once Upon a Time On top of red dress.
No, it'll be fun. It's the biggest HIV AIDS fundraiser that San Diego does. It raised so much money here in the city, and everything goes back into San Diego. It doesn't go to another HIV foundation. It stays here within the city. So it's great. And everybody who's who of Hillcrest comes out for it.
And I love all the promotional work they do locally in Hillcrest leading up to it.
Yeah.
I think that's really great, because it is community-based. So you kind of like get a little taste of it as you lead up to it. And then all of a sudden it's like this huge gala.
You come, I think, with us the last 2 years, right?
The last year. I missed the first year.
We had fun. It's been fun.
Yes.
Everybody gets really wasted.
They do. I thought I would try to do back-to-back parties that day. And I was like, no.
Oh.
I remember her dress last time. But that's October 1st, which is when the new season is released.
Yeah.
And I was going to mention this earlier, but the listeners can't see me. But for Tony, this camera doesn't make me look tanned. I know.
And for your listeners, we had a hardcore competition going into this trip.
There was some rivalry.
Seriously.
There was sneak attacks with sunscreen. There was, what was the word we
special
used? Special
oil.
Like contouring sunscreen. Yeah. Handprints of shade. Like, there was a lot of
purposely standing in front of you so you were in shade when you
It was a hardcore competition.
Other travel companions participate in the competition to sabotage each other.
Right. So I'm a little bit disappointed that I can't see my tan in this camera, because I've been keeping it up and I've been sitting in the sun every day.
I haven't.
Yeah. That's okay. Someone has to win.
I know.
Oh, man. But we're here today and we're talking about Croatia, because we just got back and we're fresh off the boat, literally.
Literally fresh off the boat.
This time last week, we were getting off of the catamaran.
We were. It was Friday last week.
It was Saturday last week. We got off the catamaran, in Trogir, and went to our Airbnb, and it was like, the sadness was stepping in, because it was like coming to an end. But let's relive the beauty that was this trip, because it was phenomenal. Like, it really, I didn't realize I needed like it that much.
Three trips in one for me. It really did. Felt three separate trips in one. Because we got there before everybody else. We were like, we were the hardcore. You, Steven.
And we got in and we like came in a week early and we did some cities and some another country. Went to Montenegro for a day.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Yeah. So we were like, so it felt like three trips to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we did. And I have to say, you literally planned everything. I loved it because I literally just gave the itinerary, what we had to pay and all that. And I didn't have to book it.
So what was it like? What was it like for you as somebody who doesn't like to do the planning, I guess, or who was okay with somebody else doing the planning and kind of going into it? Because you were one of those people where you didn't really like, you were down to go with the flow. You were like, whatever she plans, I'm pretty confident I'm going to like it. So I'm just, here's my money, take it, I'll be there.
Yeah.
So as somebody who was in that mentality, what was it like to go into that?
I think going into it first was I already had a relationship with you. So I was like, Roz knows me pretty well. She knows what I'm going to like, not like. And in my normal life, I'm always the one planning. Like, so it was, for me, it was heaven having somebody else do the work, because my last trip out of the country was London and Scotland, and I had to do all the planning for that. I was like, but this was, for me personally, it was great, and you were very, very thorough, which I love. Like every T, every I was crossed. I never was left in the dark about anything when it came to the trip.
Amazing.
Great. And it was funny though, because our other travel companion, Steven, he's kind of like you. He likes to know the details. And I was like, maybe a month before we left, like, what exactly are we doing again? You know what I mean? But
Steven did tell me that. He did tell me that. And I'm like, how does he not know?
I know. I was like, it's Roz. It'll be fun no matter where we go, what we do. But I think going into the trip with that mindset of go with the flow, it's an adventure. Who knows what's going to happen? I know I'm with really great people. So they're going to have my back.
We'll keep you safe. I think my bottom line is that I like to have fun, but I also have this kind of personality where I want people to stay safe, and it will cause me anxiety if they're not safe. As we know with the wild ride, we'll get to that.
But not just safe, you are really good at providing information so people can learn how to stay safe on their own if they decide to travel on their own and do these type of trips on their own, which was great.
That's why I'm a travel coach.
No joke.
I'm here to empower. Also plan if you need me to, but I want to like teach people. So they can do this for themselves.
And even though you were on the vacation too, it really was like any opportunity you had, you were teaching and giving pointers to everybody who was around so that they knew like, if we're going to do this on our own, this is how we do it. You know what I mean?
I love that. That's incredible feedback.
Yeah, it was great. I love not having the stress of planning.
Speaking of stress and plan, well, stress, not really planning, but the stress. I think a lot of people are familiar with the last 6 months, 6 to 9 months of air travel has been chaotic. Cancellations, delays, all of these things. And that's why when we booked our flights, I was like, I don't want to go from San Diego. I want a one-stop itinerary. I don't want to have to deal with multiple stops. And the only option out of San Diego was Lufthansa. And that was twice the price of the time that we booked our flights.
Yeah.
And so we had the most amazing travel day. Up and back. No issue.
I loved it.
At all. None.
None. None. And I have to say, we did do carry-on, and the bags we had was perfect for carry-on that you suggested, and Steven and I got. It was that I think not checking a bag and being able to
so
do
good.
It
so made good.
Such a difference.
Yeah. And if anyone's listening, it's the Osprey 55. It's the men's one. It also comes in a female's size, which is slightly smaller. I think it's Osprey 50. And you can get the bag even smaller than that, and you can get it even bigger. But the 50 and the 55 liter is the biggest carry-on size you can take. Bigger than that, you can't take it on board.
And it comes with a detachable day pack, which was amazing.
Yes.
So you actually get two bags in one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was perfect for the trip. I was able to pack enough everything for the whole 17 days.
Yeah. And I actually, there were things in my bag that I didn't even use. I Same realized here. at the end, I was like, every trip, there's something, every trip, my goal is to go into it and wear everything in my bag.
Yeah.
And this trip, there were at least three things in there. I'm like, okay, for now, I know, you know, it just improves your packing every time.
Yeah, that was one of the stresses going in. I was like, God, I hope I don't have to check it. But it was the perfect carry-on. Like, no issues with any of the airlines we were with as far as using it.
I think it helped because we checked in online for Iberia. And because there were no COVID protocols for the airline or the country, we didn't have to go to the desk to show them anything. Right. Yeah. So we were able to check in online again. And then we just got to LAX and went straight through. So at that point, if anyone's going to have a beef with our bag, it's the gate agent. And if the gate agent doesn't like it, it goes in the hold. And then it's the first thing you grab as you step off the jet bridge.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually end up on the carousel. So it's like.
It was perfect. Like. Yeah. Yeah, it was probably the best advice for a bag. It was a great travel day. We actually took the train from San Diego to LAX, which was a great call, Ross, because it was an easy ride. We had drinks. We were like relaxed by the time we got to LAX.
Yeah.
And then once we got there, we had plenty of time to grab drinks before the
flight. Did some wine tasting in the airport. If anybody's been to LAX, the Vino Volo is one of my favorite restaurants because you can do wine tasting. And we all did it together for like 3 hours.
Yeah, it was great.
And then we ate.
Yeah, and then we got on the plane. We were ready.
Yeah, I got changed. I got a full outfit and wardrobe change before I got onto the plane.
I was like, this, look at this. Look at this lady. She is like full outfit change. She literally got into her pajamas, y'all. Literally with an eye mask and everything.
I'm like, I am ready to fly.
You're like, I'm out. Bye.
Well, you know, the listeners know that I don't fly well. So for me, it's all a mind game. So pretending like I'm in that happy wine drunk stage where now I'm just ready to sit in my chair and be like, good night, world. Yeah.
It was an easy flight because we only had one stop when we got to Madrid.
And it was so good. The next gate was like two gates down.
Yeah, it was so easy.
We had time to get another beverage and some food.
Yeah.
And then went to our gate. Yeah, it was perfect. And on the way back, we flew Finnair.
Which is great. I loved Finnair. That was my first time flying them.
So good. And these are all airlines that belong to the One World family of brands. So, you know, there's Star Alliance, One World, and SkyTeam. So that's why you can book these two different airlines coming up and back because they're technically the one family. So... fun ways to get stopovers in different locations. If you wanted to make a stopover, you could technically have stopped in Madrid and Helsinki.
Oh, we stopped on Helsinki on the way back.
Yeah, we were, and that's a beautiful airport. Helsinki was
a beautiful airport.
Gorgeous airport. And the airline attendants had scooters to get around the airport, which I thought they just looked adorable, scootering down this beautiful airport that's got floor-to-ceiling water wall windows, like natural lighting. Gorgeous.
It was a very, very luxe airport.
Yeah, and even in like the public areas, there were lounge seats that you could just lounge and watch the runway. It was incredible. We could talk about the travel day the entire time.
I know.
Let's do Dubrovnik quickly. So Dubrovnik was our first stop.
Yeah.
And the Airbnb location was great, but for someone like Tony, who is unfortunately above 6 foot tall.
I'm 6'3". So I'm not short, and it was not built for somebody my height. Let's just say
Even I hit my shoulders coming up the spiral staircase into the... So our Airbnb was the best location, I think, that we could have asked for because we were outside the city walls, but in town.
Yes.
So... we just walked into the city wall and it was like, ta-da, we're in the thick of it. But it was a loft above a restaurant. And so 50% of the space was unusable.
because it
was like, you know, the loft. So it's like the little corners of the roof.
Peak roof. So it went.
Peaked roof, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was that. I mean, we only slept there. We were gone most of the time. Yeah. But for me, it was just, I was like Hunchback of Notre Dame when I left. I was like, where did this come from? Jeez.
Look, I got, as we kept going through the trip, the showers kept getting bigger and that was all
I was in heaven after having to do the Dubrovnik shower where I literally could not stand up while I took a shower. I went to the bathroom. Everything else was cake after that.
I just that shower, the circumference of that like corner of that room, I
So
could barely turn around in the shower without the shower curtain hitting me and all the water going full
going
European
everywhere.
style all over the bathroom, which you know it was built for because there was a plug hole
Yeah.
in the bathroom floor, not the shower floor. So you know
I
that's the
noticed that, yeah.
European style shower, which actually just is. It's something to expect, I think, with European Airbnbs and hotel rooms, is that the showers, the bathrooms are built differently. Like, whether it's a loft or not, some of them don't even have like shower quarters. Like, it's just like a corner of the bathroom where there's a handle with some, you know, where you can rinse yourself and the plug in the ground. There's no curtain or anything to stop it from going
No
everywhere.
tub or anything like that. It was just a shower.
Just tells you how neat they are. Like, how do they do
Yeah.
it? I would
Oh,
have burned
another
through so many
thing
towels.
that I thought was great once we got into Croatia, especially the prophet. Well, all over Croatia, you can drink the water out of the tap because it was so not like
So
filled with crap.
not like the US.
Yeah.
And
It tastes like
it
drinking
tasted
water.
good. Yeah, and it
Yeah.
tasted good. And they had the little fountains around town where you could fill your water bottle. So
So
bring in a
cute.
water bottle, like, you know, it's
Yeah.
clutch because you don't have to pay for water anywhere.
But
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
you picked the Airbnb and it couldn't have been a perfect, better location. Like
Yeah.
we were in the thick of it and we were close to the water and that amazing swimming spot we found.
Yes. So if you're in Dubrovnik and you're at the marina that's close to the city wall, so not the one where the ferries leave from to go to Split, it's the one where the day ferries leave from to go to like Cavtat and places like that. So it's a very small marina outside the city wall. If you kind of walk around to, if you're facing the water and you walk to the right, follow the wall all the way around to the right, there's a little local swimming spot there. And you could just jump in the water and get away from the heat, which is desperation station because
Oh,
it's
yeah.
so hot. It was so hot in the middle of the day. And you know, it was perfect temperature to swim at nighttime. And you can jump off the rocks into the water and, you know, just a great spot just to chill out.
Sunbathe and it, yeah, you jumping into the Adriatic Sea, it was amazing. Like, we had some really good times at that swim spot.
We did. I think that was our go-to whenever we
It
needed
was.
a
Yeah.
reprieve from like the heat. We're like, let's go get a swim in. Let's go
Yeah,
refresh
it
ourselves. Yes.
felt so good, that water.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're in Dubrovnik, the only other place you can really swim is the Buza Bar, you know, and even
Oh,
then
yeah.
it's very rocky there. It's very touristy. So you're not going to have a relaxing swim stop. It's going to be like you're getting drinks, you're going to go jump in the ocean, come back and take your seat. Apart from that, you can't really swim in Dubrovnik. You got
Yeah.
to go to the beaches on the outskirts, like the Cavtat and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's a good tip.
A Abuja bar was so cool, though. Can we talk? That was a cool one. That's
But
not
wait,
marked.
no.
It's not marked. You got to kind of hump for it.
You got to follow the boozy signs, you know. And
Yeah.
I think the best way to describe it is if you're a Game of Thrones fan, it's the Yeswit steps where here we go
Shame.
with my really bad abilities to describe people, but it's the shame stairs. It's the shame stairs. So you go up the shame stairs, turn left, and follow the signs that say beer and cold drinks this
Cold
way.
drinks. You go through a little cutout in the stone wall that looks like it could be the gate of a jail, and then you walk up these
I mean, they are
steps.
fort walls. They are
Yeah,
fort walls. So you
fort
are probably correct. It was probably the gate to a prison. They probably pushed people off those cliffs, to be fair.
Yeah, it's true. But they put a little bar into the cliff, and the views were amazing of the Adriatic Sea. It was. And the music they were playing was so good. It was one of my favorite spots that we did. And it was right when we went before the whole crew got there. It was just you and Steven and I. And it was such a chill, such a cool vibe. If people go to Croatia, they have to find that bar and check it out.
Yes. And we went around. So our idea was to go for sunset, which kind of backfired because the sunset behind us. Okay. We weren't really thinking, but it was really nice anyway because it wasn't too hot. It wasn't too busy. We went around 5:30 local time. And I feel like we like nailed the time
Oh,
frame.
it was perfect timing. We got a little table. And then we saw they had their pirate ship float by while we're
Random pirate ship that kept going up and back, which was great. It was great for the views. But overall, I think like with Dubrovnik, and we'll get into Split, but I liked Dubrovnik better.
I have to agree with you. Dubrovnik was one of my favorite. The history of the city itself, and it's It literally was like out of a postcard. It was so beautiful.
It was beautiful. Yeah.
Really,
and
really.
It kind of reminded me more of like other places we went to in Croatia that had the fort walls, like in the castles and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, it was so clean. The streets, there was trash nowhere.
Immaculate. Didn't even smell like wherever they were putting the trash, even when they were carrying out in the morning. Like they would do it, they would clear up at around like 6 a.m. I feel like, because we caught them that one morning when we were leaving for Montenegro and we were up really early. But it was immaculate.
They were cleaning that city like nobody's business. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was that Dubrovnik, I would agree with you, is one of my favorites. It was just so, we had some amazing food.
The food in Croatia, hands down, just the food in Croatia was fantastic. Somehow I lost 8 pounds.
I lost 10. I don't know how.
we ate and drank our way through Croatia.
Oh,
not
and
holding
we swam
back.
A lot. Yeah. We were in the ocean a lot. So
yeah,
you're burning those calories.
Burning them. But it was incredible. And I mean, I've not been to the French Riviera and I've not done the Amalfi Coast. So I can't speak from experience, but Split gave me that vibe. It was that waterfront Riviera kind of vibe, you know, the palm trees that were lit up. Like it was just, that's kind of what it reminded me, what I imagine it would be like.
Yeah. Split seemed a little more of the bougie, touristy kind of thing, where Dubrovnik felt really, not as much. It was really like, I don't know, I guess homie.
Let's address the touristy part real quick, because I feel like people need to know the amount of tourists that filter through Split and Dubrovnik. So while you cannot get into these cities very closely in a cruise ship, that doesn't stop the cruise ship from sending ferries of their cruisers to the city from the open ocean, okay? And during the day, it is hell. Like the streets of Dubrovnik, the streets of Split, packed with day tourists. And then they leave. And then they go. You know, by the time the evening comes, it's wonderful. So if you are in these places, going and finding things to do for the day that are away from the main city is the best way. Because when you come back in the evening, there's only the people that are really staying overnight.
Yeah, it's not the day trippers that were from the cruise ships. Because when we say that, they literally dropped them off in droves. And they were just
droves. And there were thousands. I mean, you couldn't even walk through in some places. There were so many people.
Yeah.
And we planned it really well. Like even that morning that we kind of just moseyed around and got brunch, even that we were up super early and we kind of missed the cruises. But then the minute, like, I feel like the brunch ended, it was busy. Like as we were leaving to Cavtat, it was crazy how many people were around. Okay, so we've gone through Dubrovnik and Split, but I feel like we need to get to the nuts and bolts of the sailing, the experience that neither of us had really done before. I had never been on a catamaran for more than a day. Like I've done like booze cruises and things, but nothing 7 days living on a boat.
And with the amount of, we had two catamarans that we were all going together. So there was, how many of us all
together? We were 19 people in total.
Yeah.
19. Crazy. But I feel like actually it worked really well because there were times where we were together in the ocean and we had our respective catamarans and then we were separate pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, which I was really grateful, not grateful, but that's the wrong word. I know I'm grateful because I need that time. I need time to be able to, you know, decompress. I can't be with a group all the time. And everyone did a really good job of like breaking into smaller groups, like micro groups in that and going to dinner because Croatia is not made for big groups, which is why this whole cruise ships of people coming in was a pain in the ass because you're like, where are they like going?
Where are they going?
Where are they eating? You know, it was hard to find a place for more than, I'd say, six people. If four was the perfect number. But even six was like starting to get to that number where you're like, ugh, hard to find a restaurant. So 19 people in total was nuts.
Yeah. But and our catamaran was only what, eight?
We were eight. We were eight and there were 11 on the other one. Yeah. But they had a bigger catamaran. So the two that we used, we had the Lagoon 52 and the Lagoon 46. So we were the smaller one and they were the bigger one. And honestly, until you saw them from like the drone footage, I couldn't work out how much, where the size difference was, but it was significant. Like it really was. When you look at them with the drone footage, it was insane, the size difference. But what were your I'm curious what your preconceived ideas were about living on a boat for 7 days. Like, what were you
So,
concerned about? Because I had my concerns as well.
I was worried about getting seasick because the last time I was on a boat, I got really bad seasick. So for anybody, I got the patches that you put behind that you
I feel like
get a
this is
patch.
a whole segue story now, too, because we've got the patches.
The patches. So one of the girls that we met, Jen, on the boat, she didn't know anybody going into this trip, and ended up being like one of the most awesome people we met on the trip. She had
Fantastic
a side
friend.
effect to the
She's
patches, a
that
very rare
1% of people that have a reaction to the patch, and that
one.
girl almost went blind,
Yeah.
basically. And then Becca
Oh,
started
Becca.
having symptoms too, and she removed her patch and she was fine.
I luckily didn't have any issues. It did help. I didn't get seasick whatsoever.
I did. Ironically, the one
Yeah.
person who told everyone to prepare for seasickness, I'm the
You
one
had
that
your
gets
day.
seasick. I had the first day, basically the first
Yeah.
full day, I
I
felt
was a little
horrible.
worried about like just my being the tallest person on there, how I was gonna fit in
Fit
the
into all the pants.
cabin and all of that, which were actually very nice
Spacious,
and spacious. The
enormous,
bathrooms
yeah.
were great. It was very easy for me because I went on with my best friend and then my co-host from the show and you. So I already went in knowing people and I was rooming, well, half rooming with my best friend. So it was easy. And I
Yes.
was really worried about meeting new people because I get nervous. I don't know people, how they are, how, but I think we were really lucky with our boat and everybody got along
Yes.
so well. And personally, I feel like I made really good connections with everybody on the boat, friends, and even with the other catamaran. It was nice knowing that we had a bigger group, but we didn't have to participate and be around the whole group all the time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That was great. I love that
I am pro breaking to smaller groups when you're traveling
we
as a
did.
group, because you're
Everybody
not
did.
going to meet
Everybody.
locals traveling as a giant floating American amoeba. You aren't.
Yeah. And
Okay.
everybody was really good about like pairing off into their own little groups or pairings or
And just
however they
going
wanted
on
to.
adventures and yeah.
Yeah. And then we would, I love the days when we would hook up with the other catamaran in the ocean and do like these
Day
day
for hours.
swims.
For
It was,
hours. That was the
and
best. That to
everybody
me
would
was the
go
best part.
to the other boat. They'd come to ours. And then we had one night when we were in, I forget which town it was, that we kind of, where we did the winery.
Yes, the winery.
Yeah, where we
Mamaroneck
actually was,
Winery, if you
yeah.
are in Maslenica, is the port, and it's actually
Amazing.
just across from Split. So you can
Yeah,
actually
it
go
was
for a day
amazing.
trip.
One of the best days we had on the trip was the winery, I
Even
felt.
the food that we ate before the winery. So this little restaurant, only restaurant that was really close by and open, and it was raining that morning too. The first day we got rain, which we'll come back to the weather app as well. We need to circle back to the weather in Croatia and the app. But this, I mean, I am sitting here just speechless about the dish I ate, and it was basically arugula
Oh, but it was so
and
good.
Grand Padano cheese wrapped in prosciutto. I don't know what that was, and I just I'm speechless. It was
Yeah.
that good. Yeah,
I
and
know
the
you could
eggplant.
tell it was a mom and pop kind of restaurant because the other waiters all looked like they were brothers.
And they were so cute. And they were so
They were
friendly. They're like, okay, we're going now. This person's gonna take care of you. Like, just really great service. But yeah, that
Yeah.
day, the winery was
And that
fantastic.
was the really only day I think the two boats really
Came
partied
together.
in
Yeah.
the ports together where
We
everybody was on
did.
each other's boats because we were right next to each other. And of course, everything got a little sloppy, but it was fun. That was like the really only day when everybody on both boats cut loose at the same
And
time.
I think it was timed well because it was technically the second to last night.
Yeah,
And
it was perfect
that's a
timing.
good time to get a bit sloppy because you're not going to be stuck around somebody who maybe kind of annoyed you for the rest of the
Yeah.
trip,
Yeah.
right? You save it to the second to last night. You're like, it's okay, I got 48 hours. It's
And
fine.
then we're done.
And then
But
we're done.
before that, the boats really never partied together in the evening, like on each other's boats. It was
We were
very
kind of
separate.
separate too, though. Like sometimes in the
Yeah.
port, we weren't next to each other. Whereas in Maslenica, when we went into the slip, we were next to each other, so that was awesome. Like you woke up and your neighbor was your friends. Like it was, that was fun.
Yeah, but the only thing like on the boats that I I don't know. I didn't really have any issues when I left, like after being, I thought I was going to have like, oh God, I want to get off this freaking boat immediately.
Yeah.
But what you get really acclimated to being at sea and on the boat, you know, what made it really cool is actually helping our skipper dock and de-dock and like,
be I did part nothing of the for the record.
I know you did it. The boys and Jen, of course, it's like, helping out, but I thought nothing. That was really cool. And we got really lucky with Anton, our skipper.
Yeah. He was yeah. great. Ante and Bruno were our skippers, and they were fantastic. Croatians. Yeah. Look great. Look Croatians. But I just was so surprised at how spacious it was. I had set myself up for like, it's going to be small. Accept it, embrace it. This is part of the experience. And it was nothing.
There was so much space for especially all eight of us. I never felt cramped. There was always, you were either inside in the little where the kitchen and the lounge area was.
Or you're on the front, or you're in the back, or you're on the top.
Or you're in the water.
Or like, really, there were so many places that you could lay down and do things or just keep to yourself. Or it was fantastic. And we had the smaller one too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I know for me, there were moments when I definitely got my alone time on the boat where I just sat, I was sunbathing, I wasn't getting bothered. But it also goes to like, you really were good at putting personalities together on the boat.
Thank you knew very much. Who was going to get
along well and who, you know what I mean?
Like sometimes the other wild boat, card, but you know, there's always one on every trip. So.
But we got really lucky with our boat. I think everybody meshed really well.
Yes.
And it made for a great experience. It was, I think my favorite thing on the catamaran was literally at one point we were in the middle of the Adriatic Sea, no land in sight, and both boats linked up and we just swam. We just put music on. Oh, and then the game you invented, Roz.
I didn't invent this game. This is a variation of a timeless game from Australia called Guna Fortune. So if you are in Australia and you're familiar with Guna Fortune, and for anybody who's listening who's not familiar, you take a bag of wine. Okay, and you clip it. Now, again, this is already a hurdle because you don't have these in the US, but they're called a Hills Hoist washing line. And it's a washing line that's pretty much on a long pole, and then it's got a square at the top, and the lines run around it, and you put your clothing on it, and it rotates, right? So you would peg the wine bag to one corner of that rotating washing line, and everybody would stand around it in a circle like a Wheel of Fortune, and you would spin. You would spin the washing line, and wherever the bag landed would have to drink. And then you would lower it because it lowers. You put the clothes on, then you lower it up so it's closer to the sun. So you would lower the washing line, and eventually it gets to the point where it's going to hit you in the head, right? So you, at this point, you've had quite a few drinks of the bag. And so Guna Fortune is just really doesn't require any skill. It's a game of chance, and it's easy. So we decided in Croatia that, you know, we'd found some wine that we liked and we found it in a box. And we're like, this is so much more economical. It's so much more, you know, friendly, environmentally friendly to not have so many bottles. Room on the catamaran. And it was less heavy as far as recyclables went. So we bought it in bulk. So we bought 12 boxes of 3-liter boxes of wine. And we played this game. We played it in the ocean. And we called it Slap. Basically, you get the bag of wine, and you're all swimming in a circle, right? You're all treading.
You're treading water in a circle, trying to keep.
You're all treading water in a circle in the ocean, and you pick up the bag of wine and you throw it in the middle, and it floats to somebody.
whoever
floats to has to drink, and that was the premise of the game.
To drink in the middle of the ocean while you're treading water. And that was problematic for some people at some time. And then it was fun because people were like, no, pushing the bag away.
Yeah, people were creating waves. And then as the bag got smaller, we started slapping it, you know, because you got to slap the bag before you drink. Dang. It was.
Talk about salty wine.
Salty wine. And we just went with it. We're like, whatever. This is a great vacation. So highly recommend playing Slap.
It was fun. It was so much fun.
And I just remember the other catamarans kind of looking at us and being like, what are they doing?
What
are these tourists doing with a bag of wine? Just throwing it. And it made a really great floaty, you know, so you could just swim with the bag of wine as well.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a highlight. Also, when we went to the caves, the blue caves.
Blue cave. Yeah.
Beautiful.
That was a swimming though. To get out there to the Blue Cave. Yeah. You know,
I got so,
the Green Cave. It was the Green Cave, actually.
Green Caves. There you go. Yes, yeah. It was beautiful. That was another really cool highlight. And all of the little towns we stopped in and the villa, mm-hmm. like the ports, were so cool. I have to say this, when we ported, 99% of the bathrooms and showers we used were so clean and so like great.
Yeah. So that's something I didn't realize. I didn't know.
Me neither.
I didn't know that when you get to the marinas that there are showers and bathrooms available as well. You know, actually the ones on the catamaran, just for everyone listening, were fantastic. Like I showered in the catamaran the entire time. I'm like, this thing is perfectly good. We're now hooked up to water. I'm just going to take my shower here.
I used the shower once, and because of my height, it was really tight. So I prefer to use the port ones.
I can imagine it would have been a bit snug for anybody taller than like
6 foot. 5'11".
I'd like 5'8", because even I was kind of close to like I could reach the top with my hands. So I was like, okay, I know that we're close. But I didn't know they had the bathrooms, and that was great because the marinas are really set up for the sailing like environment. So you port into this marina and there's a bakery, there's ATM, there's a delicatessen, there's the trash cans are right there, there's bathrooms, there's restaurants, there's a supermarket, so you don't have to go far to restock your catamaran. Like, it's not going to be a horrible part of the trip, like every time you get to the dock you're like, oh god, whose turn is it now?
It was probably the easy part. It was really easy. Everything was literally right there when you walk off the catamaran. You didn't have to walk far to get to any of that,
unless you're going to Hvar.
Hvar is a...
We need to bring up Hvar because it is the party capital of Croatia, and I hated it.
I will be honest. It was when we first... Okay, we didn't port in Hvar. We ported a little bit.
We ported across from it, which was a recommendation because it's prettier, but also...
Yeah. It was Yacht Week. Let's talk about that.
It's expensive to port in Hvar. And I realized that when we actually took the water taxi over to Hvar and saw the size of these catamarans. But let's talk about this water taxi. So on the way there, it was
great.
On the way there, it was okay. It was the one from the mooring from where we ported to Hvar that was okay. It was the one on the way back that was... God.
I thought we were going to die.
I literally thought this was the end. This was the end. Yeah. So they pretty much... cram as many people onto this small water taxi.
Drunk people.
Because we were surrounded by hundreds. Let's start with the day from the beginning. We're just going to confuse everyone. Port across from Hvar, which is where a lot of people do because it's cheaper. And there are water taxis going up and back frequently so that you can just get into Hvar and out pretty easily. And they run until like 5 a.m. in the morning. So you're not going to be at a loss for getting anywhere. The issue is that when we were sailing that week, it was the Yacht Week too. Now, just so that people understand, I was under the impression that Yacht Week is like 1 week or like one of 2 weeks in July. It's like a time you go, kind of like Lollapalooza, like it's a festival. It's not. Yacht Week is a company that run yacht catamaran sailings week after week, and they are that big that they have enough people to kind of, you know, create that circle in the water. You've probably seen it, but basically we were 19 people already, times that by like 20. Okay. So Hvar is, we get to Hvar at the same time the Yacht Week people do. And it was overrun by drunk people in their, I want to say early 20s. They were all having a white party. It was just the level of obnoxiousness was so much for me to like fathom. And when we got to Hvar, it was nice. It was earlier in the day, right? We had
it was down. Great.
Yeah.
We had a nice view of the city. We walked around, got a really good view of everything. And then I think you checked out early once it started.
We made we had an amazing dinner. So we kind of wandered down the streets and had an amazing dinner. And when we came out from dinner, it was like all hell had broken loose in Hvar. It went from being this nice like area we can walk around and enjoy the sights and get some ice cream to just like the trash of drunkenness.
Yeah.
You know, like you could smell the alcohol coming out of people's pores. Drunk people were sitting on the edge of the marina dropping their food into the water in front of these like multi-million dollar catamarans and yachts. Like it was just it was like a hot mess in front of a Gucci window.
Yeah.
That's That's kind of what it felt like. And so we get the water taxi to come back.
Where did we eat at? I'm trying to remember. Because I can't remember if Havar is where Steve and Eric, I and Jen found this really cool hookah bar. And then we met up with you guys later.
I was totally there and I'm totally offended that you don't remember.
Oh, yeah, right. You were there. This is what I wanted to talk about. Up until that point, after we went to dinner, I forget the place we went to, but then we got hookah. Because that's right. Because you started getting buzzed off the hookah.
I was getting buzzed. You know what? Let me backtrack because we haven't talked about land sickness yet. So no. The combination of land sickness and the hookah was starting to like mess with my head a little bit. And I was feeling very lightheaded and I knew we had to get a water taxi back. And I'm like,
I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
The land sickness, like you said, Roz, is no joke. Like okay. I didn't believe in it and I felt it toward maybe a little later than you.
Yeah. Land sickness is basically seasickness. But it happens to you when you're on land. So basically your body, seasickness is your body trying to catch up and find a new center point of like gravity and kind of bring you back to equilibrium because your brain and your muscles aren't communicating because they can't get used to what's going on with the sea, right? And eventually it does. Eventually it works itself out. But that means that when you go onto land, your body's all fucked up again. Okay. And you just don't know what's going on.
Now I'm remembering Havar. And I remember when we first got there, we ate at that great little restaurant upstairs.
Yeah. And
we
there was like a church choir playing and it was beautiful.
Oh,
yeah.
Up to that point,
it was perfect.
Up until dinner, I was like, this is my jam. We are in this alley having one of the best meals with literally like a choir at a church, like in the background.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Then we come out of dinner where I was like, I hate Havar.
And now it's all coming back. I love gelato and we walked to try and find gelato and I didn't even want to eat it at that point. Like, I just want to go home.
Right.
So let's talk about the water taxi getting back. Okay. Because this is like the fear of God in my life. So the water taxi, they start cramming people on and we are on this water taxi with probably like 20 people from Yacht Week who are drunk, who are off their face. And we get the seat right at the back of the water taxi.
There's
nothing to hold on to. This thing is like a chair, not even a chair, like a cushion and then the water. A bench and then the water. There's no bars to hold on to and this thing is going fast. And
driven by a 12-year-old.
And I think what really set the tone was as we were boarding the water taxi, the guy who was boarding us in was like, yeah, drunk people, get on the water taxi.
I'm not going to care. Not just that. He was like,
he was maniacal. Like, he was not cackling.
We should have known better when he started cackling.
I did say at one point, I want to wait for the next one. But at that point, three of you were already on the water taxi. I'm like, okay, I guess we're doing this. And the minute it took off, I freaked out. I felt so bad.
I was holding on to you for dear life.
So I was like in the middle between Tony and Steven and had nothing to hold on to. And neither did Tony because Tony was at the butt end of the like.
I literally hooked my foot into the boat and prayed for morning.
Yeah, it was so fast. And I ended up getting up from where I was sitting and crouching in the corner and holding on to the boat, like just a pole that I found and crouched the whole time because I was just like holding on for dear life. And then the drunk people around us are offering each other poppers. And I'm just like, close that bottle. All we need now is one person to get a whiff of a popper and go flying off the boat. Right.
I thought that one girl that was in the middle who kept laying back wanting to look at the stars. I was like, she's going to pop off this boat.
It was also about like 10 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock. So it was pitch black. You are on the open ocean. There is nobody in the back of the water taxi with you. Right. You're just all just people just on this thing.
If somebody dropped off the boat, nobody would know.
No. The only people who would know would be the people in the thing, but they were all drunk and wouldn't know who to tell. And by the time they figured out how to get the guy driving to stop driving, that person is in the ocean, in the dark. No light. It's done. It was so dangerous. And I was so anxious that night because everyone had been drinking during the day. And after our experience on the water taxi, I was like, I've got to just warn everybody because, you know, it was so scary. Fortunately, half the group ended up going to a club, went to Carpe Diem, which is notorious for being like a really good club on, in Havar. We recommend the day club versus the nighttime. We didn't go, but the others who went at nighttime weren't thrilled. But we had one person on the trip who went during the day previously and said it was amazing. But anyway, they were all going to the club and they came back and they got a private one. I'm like, well, that was the way to go.
Lucky.
Because they had an amazing experience versus our life-defying experience on that water taxi from Havar.
Yeah, Havar was my least favorite island. Up in it was great. Up until after dinner is when I was like, nope, not my jam. I'm good. Yeah.
It was least favorite because of my stress levels. Because of my stress levels of thinking about 18 drunk people getting home and that experience. I'm like, we're going to lose someone out to sea. And I have boundaries. I know when to stop drinking. Not all of my friends do, okay?
No.
Not all of them do. Not all of them have a working phone. So I was just like, I am not going to sleep until all 18 people are back in Havana. And I didn't. I sat there and I tossed and turned until 3 a.m. when everybody came back. And that's when I finally fell asleep. When I knew everyone was safe back on the catamaran. Like a mom. Literally like a mother waiting for the kids to come.
And everybody appreciated it. Everybody was like, thank you for the heads up and all that.
I feel like the people who took the private one were like, what was all the fuss about?
I was like, you weren't on the boat of death. You know what I mean?
The boat of death.
Jeez, that was,
So my final thoughts on Yacht Week are, it is the hosteling version of sailing. You know, it's the hostel version of sailing.
Oh, definitely. It was such a young
like
crowd.
Early 20s, and they paid more money and allegedly couldn't even shit on the catamaran, which is, if I couldn't use my bathroom on the catamaran, I'd be livid. Weren't allowed to shower on the catamaran. I'm curious now to look into it and see how much it is and what the expectation they give versus what the expectation they deliver.
Because
we had such a lovely experience and paid half the price of they did. And
it was great. The catamaran was, it was so much fun.
The idea and versus the reality of the catamaran was like incredible.
Well, even when we first got to the marina where we were getting on the catamaran the first day, I was like, okay, expectations are very low for this.
Very low.
But when we saw the boat, we were like, oh, shit.
We were all like, pop the bottles.
Yep. And then I was just literally surprised at how spacious our, with 8 people on there, how much room we had. And literally you lived in swimsuits and tank tops the whole time.
Probably why we were able to go carry on for that many days. Because we literally, I don't think I put on human clothes. Oh, human clothes. I don't think I put on real clothing.
No. Oh, let's talk about the weather, because that affected a lot of what we did.
So, You tell it, because
when we got to Dubrovnik, the weather, this is the thing, do not trust the weather app when you're in Croatia.
Any of the weather apps, whether it's Apple, whether it's AccuWeather, whether you go onto a local, you know, Croatian website, you can't trust it.
For the first, 4 days we were in Dubrovnik, we were told it was going to rain every single day. Not one drop of rain. Not one cloud in the sky. It was beautiful.
And we planned everything around that. Like, we had that brunch that morning, and I know that we had planned, like, on our first day, we're like, let's just mosey around the city and have drinks in bars, because it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then I said to you all, I was like, I think we should take advantage of the sun, because it's meant to rain for the rest of the week. So we went to the beach instead. Went to
Cap Tap Beach, which was great. We met this, this is what I loved about the trip. There are other solo people. We met this amazing woman from Ireland traveling by herself. While me and Stephen were swimming in the ocean, she was next to us and we started chatting. Great. It was great. That was one of my favorite beaches, because that was really felt like the start of the vacation
vibe.
It was great, but the weather was very, like, it stayed between in the mid 80s to 90s, a bit humid. Biggest advice I would give when you're in Dubrovnik and you want to do the walls, wake up early, do it at the crack of dawn before it gets crowded and
crack
hot.
Crack of dawn.
We timed that, Roz, perfectly. And along the wall, they have stops of juice bars where you can take a break and have
gorgeous.
That was like I'm so glad we woke up and did that early.
The walls are narrow in parts. Like some parts are pretty wide, and actually it's pretty few and far between those sections. It's really kind of as you get to like the corners where you can work around people. But apart from that, they're very narrow. You can't just walk around somebody. You single file for a lot of the wall. So doing it at 8 a.m. not only is better because you're not in the extreme heat, because there's no cover, you are fully exposed, but also there's less people. And we were off the wall by 9:30.
It is a hike. I mean, we did. It was a lot of steps.
That's why we lost weight, because we did some vacation work. It was not much, to be fair. It was, I think, the most physical day.
But I will say, on the whole vacation, we never had a day where we just sat around. Even on the catamaran, we were either jumping in the ocean,
swimming the entire time. I loved it.
I did too. Yeah. It was great diving off that thing and just.
I love to swim, and now everyone's just already thinking about next year.
Yeah.
So,
the weather stayed pretty consistent the whole time we were there. We got rain one day when we were at the wine tasting, and that was it.
Yeah, we did get water. We did get rain in Montenegro.
Yeah.
And I need the listeners to know that the weather app said it was sunny that day. Okay.
Yeah. Full sun. Not a drop of rain.
Not a drop of rain anywhere. And then we're in Montenegro and it's raining. And then we go back to Croatia and it's meant to be raining, but it's full sun. So you can't trust the weather apps in Croatia.
At all.
And Maddie had a great, you know, reason. She thinks that Croatia's paying off the weather apps to keep the tourists away.
to keep the tourists away.
And I think that she's right, because it was so wrong the entire time. The only day it was correct was the day that we were sailing, and it actually was on point.
And if people are in Dubrovnik, take the day trip to Montenegro. It was so good. And you found the perfect tour. The girl who did it and the whole vibe of that day tour was great.
It was great.
We were on an itinerary. We got to do kind of our own thing.
Yes. The only itinerary that it was you're going to these three cities.
Yeah. And that was
it. When you get there, what you do is up to you.
Exactly. That's what I really enjoyed about that. The Montenegro day trip. That was great. It was so beautiful there.
Yeah. And we have our beautiful photo of the four of us in Perast with the Lady of the Rock in the background. And it was just the quintessential perfect photo.
So good.
But I mean, overall, wow. Wow.
I do like the whole aspect of the trip, that I learned a lot, because you gave a lot of pointers while we were on vacation about do's, don'ts, especially when it came to Airbnbs, especially when it came to the currency when we were there, how much to take out, what we needed to do. It was just really helpful. Like, I felt really prepared even going into the trip.
I'm glad you did, because I have to say that the company that I chartered our catamarans through didn't prepare me well. I was very, very nervous, because everything they told me, 80% of it was off the mark, you know. And if it wasn't for the skippers contacting me a few days before we boarded, I would have been very anxious that day of boarding, because everything they, and to just to give people an idea, it was the costs, right? So the fees to moor in each marina, it was the fuel, it was how we do things day to day. Things that I'm expected to tell my clients to prepare them. You know, the fact that you could use credit card for everything. You didn't have to pay in cash. Mm-hmm. You know, that was huge. I didn't want people walking around with wads of cash.
Yeah.
So it was useful in that respect, that, you know, the skippers definitely made it. And I told that catamaran company, I go, you're lucky that your skippers saved you on this one.
Oh, for sure.
Because leading up to it as well was really bad. Like, the communication was terrible, and I'm not going to name names, but they're apparently, you can see it in the photos. You can work it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Look at the mask.
Logo in the photo. Oh, man. But it was, all in all, it was an amazing trip. There wasn't any, like, we didn't really have any bad experience through the whole thing.
The worst experience was the Havar water taxi coming back.
That was it. Even that was an adventure in itself, you know what I mean? We laughed about it the next day.
We laughed about it when we got off the catamaran and realized we had lived.
Yeah.
Is everybody here? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Congratulations.
We're alive.
Lives.
We didn't lose anybody.
Yeah. If you were a cat with 9 lives, you'd be down 3 after that one attack.
Yeah. There were so many cats in Croatia everywhere.
Yes. And I
you
love
were
that
in heaven.
I loved cats. We were in Montenegro and we'd split up to kind of do our own thing. And Tony, Stephen, and Maddie come around the corner and I'm petting a cat. And all I hear is, of course, this is where we find her. I'm in the middle of like a square petting a cat, like getting into it, like almost crouching down, like I'm going to be here for a while. And I just hear this, of course, this is where we find her. And I look up and there's a green so staring at me judgingly.
Judgingly.
Judgingly as I'm petting this cat. But would you do it again? Do you think it was so good that you would do it all again?
Absolutely. Yeah, I Same. Definitely would. Yeah.
Yeah.
With like now knowing the trip, how it is.
That works.
Small tweaks I would make, but that's it. But all in all, it was like, God, it was just so much fun.
How would you, and I've lost my train of thought.
Prepare next time?
Gone.
It's gone.
Gone. The train of thought was gone. Yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say. It wasn't even a question. It was a statement. Oh, gosh. Brains. Still got vacation brains.
Yeah.
It's gone again. Wow.
Oh my God, Roslyn.
Captain. It's a captain.
Captain.
Yeah. You know, okay, I remember now. Third time. Okay. Here we go. I didn't realize how much I needed that vacation until I came back and I was like, I've never felt this way coming back from a trip.
Yeah.
Never.
I agree.
I've been to 55 perfect. Countries. I've never felt this way coming back from a trip.
Yeah. It was like, it was just fun. And I really, really have to commend you on just getting a really good group together, especially like on my end and the people I was around and the new people I got to meet. It really made a difference. Like, it was just so much fun and no stress. I didn't really feel stressed out at any point. No.
And I just think it was so wonderful. Just the timing as well, you know, like we day drank and then I was in bed early and I didn't really wake up with hangovers. It was
the other
few
thing.
Days where I felt a bit seedy, but to be fair, like I exercised because we were swimming all the time and we ate really well. Like we were eating
really well,
great food every day and drinking and quite a bit, but like we didn't ever feel unwell and it was just refreshing. I didn't come back and be like, I need a vacation for my vacation.
Yeah, and I love that even though we were in a big group, everybody had their own version of this trip and what they wanted to do on the trip, but they didn't put that on anybody else. If they wanted to have a solid buzz the whole trip, they did that and it didn't affect everybody else on the boat or anybody else you were traveling. They would come into like, they'd hang out with the other group when they wanted to, but they had their own.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's what I thought was so nice. Like you can go hang out with these people. And then when you're done, you're done. Nobody gives you shit. They don't care. You know,
that's important being in small spaces that you are, you know, respectful of people's space. And that was in my terms and conditions, you know, that you respect your boatmates because at the end of the day, we are living in close quarters, very close quarters. And it is not okay if you rub somebody up the wrong way because there's very little space for them to go away to.
Yeah.
You know, and actually I saw a really funny meme. It was something along the lines of, how am I supposed to Irish goodbye if I'm stuck on a boat?
That is true.
I was like, yeah, exactly. How are you supposed to Irish goodbye if you're stuck on a boat? So on that note, we'll end this here because I feel like we could just keep going on forever.
I know we could.
We might come back and do a more specific topic. You know, we'll bring Eric in and be like a very specific niche part of the Croatia trip. But Tony, how do they find you and who invited her?
You can follow me. It's Tony_Bologna_Macaroni on Instagram. You can follow the show, Who Invited Her, anywhere you get podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Apple, all of that good stuff.
Yeah.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram, Who Invited Her_podcast. We are on break. We start season 6, October 1st. Yeah, it's a very different show than Roz's. I will say that.
I love it. I got my first time on a podcast. You popped my podcast cherry. So
you did. You've been a guest on ours many, many times.
I've been whipped on that show.
She's been vlogged.
I've been vlogged.
I have. She recorded her ayahuasca trip, and we have the audio of her talking to her pillow, who was her best friend on the trip.
Yep.
Yeah, we've gotten into some shenanigans on the show.
I love it. I love it. And I can't wait for the new season.
Yeah.
We need another vacation. This
I know. Let's go on another one right now. Let's go.
Let's stop planning it. Pick the destination. We're going. We're going. Yes. It's been real, Tony.
It's been real. Miss you.
Miss you.
I know.
Until next time, listeners.
Until next time.